Frosted flakes and bowls, candles gleaming inside. This chilly time of year, at least on my hemisphere, Dan's, can be hard to find ways to warm up. But for me, I'll tell you what always does it. And that's a nice hot bowl of cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. Me, myself, I'm just a cereal enthusiast.
Me, on the other hand, I am Cereal Magazine's 2022 Chexiest Man Alive, Dan Goubert. It's been a good year for me.
Congratulations. That's huge, man. Congrats. That should really bump the numbers around this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to juice those real nice.
Yeah, everybody who can see me while listening to this.
Like I said, this is a meditative podcast about cereal, which means that we're going to talk about some cereal news. We are going to share our thoughts on some cereals we've tried. We've got two overlaps this time, Dan. I'm thrilled. And we're going to get a little bit more freeform. We've got some ideal filled cereals from you, our beloved listeners, and some more questions. So it's going to be a good one. I'm really excited about this, Dan. First off, though, you know, so often cereal news is about a new cereal being added. And I think it's so refreshing to finally have a cereal that is about taking away.
This one, like, I am really struggling to understand what the idea was behind this. This is Cap'n Crunch's Oops All Red Berries, which is literally just Oops All Berries, but it's only the red ones. What?
I don't get it. I do find myself, I wish I had this because I make a cornflake wreath around this time of year with it's like a marshmallow treat with green food coloring in there and make it look like a wreath. And I love using crunch berries for the berries in the wreath. So having a box of Oops All Red Berries, that is the only practical application I can think of for this cereal. Is it a nostalgia play for people that only recognize the original Crunch Berries, which were just red?
Possibly. So I have two competing theories here. The more straightforward one is that this might release around like Valentine's Day, and it's just supposed to be red for Valentine's Day. Or my preferred theory, which is a lot more outlandish and out there, is I don't know if you saw a tweet I posted like a month or two ago where, so there's that Star Wars show Andor, right?
Yeah.
And on the show, there's a scene where one of the characters eats some sort of intergalactic cereal, we're made to believe. And I tweeted about it because it really dates the show's production extremely well back to 2020, because if you look, you can clearly tell that they just picked out all the like blue and purple pieces from the Trix World Tour cereal, like the Trolls World Tour cereal that had come out when the show was being made. And then to capitalize on sort of the popularity of that scene, when the show actually, like the episode released this year, the Star Wars account posted a recipe for like cereal bars based on that scene. But because they either couldn't access that now stale and discontinued Trolls cereal, or they just didn't want to make cereal bars with stale cereal, the recipe that they posted to social media was made using only the green, blue, and purple crunch berries. So perhaps the Cap'n is now going to capitalize on that recipe by soon releasing an Oops All Andor Berries cereal. And in order to not disrupt the color-coded production of normal Oops All Berries, they're going to, you know, release these all red berries so they're not wasting any product. That's probably not what it is, but that was kind of the shower thought that I had today.
That's, I want that to be true. It's not. There's no way it is. I really want it to be accurate.
We'll see. We'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell. We've also got, welcome to our Cinnamon Toast Crunch portion of the program. These are, one of these is fairly wild, and one of them is out there.
Which one would you consider this first one?
I think this is wild, but within the realm of things that happen to people.
Mm-hmm. So this first one is Cinnamon Toast Crunch Stuffed Puffs Big Bites Filled Marshmallows. A lot of words going on there, but this line of Big Bites is apparently like a startup filled marshmallow brand. You know, only in America, right. Startup filled marshmallow brand. But they've apparently become very popular to the point where they've been able to secure this collab with General Mills and Cinnamon Toast Crunch to release these designer marshmallows, where not only are they coated in Cinnadust, but they're also filled with a Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored cream. And honestly, they kind of look like tater tots or some sort of chicken nugget, perhaps. But
it's like a Scotch egg. Uh-huh. Give them a little bit.
But like the decadence, I think, is promising. I know there's like a really weirdly dedicated community out there of like marshmallow fans. It's never really been for me. Something about like the light and airy chew. It's not like my go-to snack. But I feel like mm-hmm. the s'mores potential for these is like really high. Like instead of doing like a classic, you know, milk chocolate and plain toasted marshmallow, you could do like maybe white chocolate with these Cinnamon Toast Crunch marshmallows instead and really mix things up.
Yeah, there have been other Big Bites. There is a Stuffed Puffs Big Bite Filled Marshmallow S'mores flavor that does have a chocolate cream in the middle, which maybe you can get that right now at your local grocer. So I don't know, maybe that would be a closer even to what you're hoping for, but it wouldn't have that distinctive Cinnamon Toast Crunch cinnamon sugar blend on the outside.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to trying them. These are going to be a Walmart exclusive, apparently. No word really on yet, but they have that ambiguous coming soon, so.
And this one to me is wild. This next one is wild.
This one really feels like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch team spun a big wheel and was just like, what existing General Mills snack can we add this flavor to? And they chose Cinnamon Toast Crunch Bugles, you know, the beloved snack that's always making headlines, Bugles.
If you remember Bugles, they're the ones that you put on your fingers.
That is the entire cultural legacy of Bugles, is making little witch nails by putting them on top of your fingers. And now you can do it and also get Cinnadust underneath your nails. I'm sure they'll be good. It seems like this is part of Cinnamon Toast Crunch's ongoing geometric conquest of trying to, you know, make every shape out there they can, because they've got squares, they've done the circles with the rolls, they've done the churros, and now they're going into like this hollow cone type shape. So I look forward to Cinnamon Toast Crunch dodecahedrons coming soon.
Yeah, here's hoping. This is the rare bit of news from Instacart, it looks like.
Well, Instacart's weird because, like, it seems that new cereal product photography will pop up on there first. And so this is not necessarily a new product, but it is a return of an old favorite, my old favorite, at least. So Double Chocolate Crave was a Crave variety that kind of quietly slipped off shelves without ever really being officially discontinued. But now they're bringing it back to shelves under a new name of Double Chocolate Brownie Batter Crave, which is like, it's kind of unclear whether that those words actually carry any weight, and will these taste any different, or is that just supposed to be like an eye-catching new title to get people to try this one? Granted, I don't think Crave has ever been a cereal that necessarily needed to be double chocolate. It's already like one of the most rich, decadent chocolate cereals out there, to the point where like Double Chocolate Crave is a like hibernation fuel. You eat a bowl of that and like you're down for the count for the night, if not several. But as like the peak of indulgence in the cereal aisle, I am at least glad to see it back, and you know, more representation for Crave, our favorite divisive cereal. And the big purple box, you can't beat that.
It is a lovely color too, I will say. And lastly, I don't know, this continuing intersection of cereal and fashion is fascinating to me.
It's been a big year for cereal-related footwear, it feels like, because we got, like, several varieties of cereal Crocs. There were, like, the Fruity Pebbles Dunks, right? Didn't you get those ones?
Yeah, I got those, the LeBron James.
So how do you feel about this collab between Puma and Frosted Flakes?
I was feeling like on the fence about it, and then I clicked through the link. I think they're kind of cool.
They're probably the most like outright fashionable cereal shoes I've seen yet. They come in two colorways of like blue with orange tiger stripes, and then orange with like more of a straightforward white stripe, and like. I'm not going to buy them. I'm not going to wear them. But, like, if I saw somebody wearing these versus, like, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Crocs decked out with cereal bowl gibbets, I would not turn an eye towards these. I would just think they're cool, like, jungle print fashion.
Yeah. And those will be, it looks like, tomorrow as we're recording this. I guess they went live yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think subtlety is definitely the way to go when it comes to cereal fashion.
Yeah. Let's see here, Dan. This is what I've been excited about. We're going to turn our attention now away from the future of cereal to the present of cereal. And we've got a holiday trio here,
mm-hmm.
of varying quality, I would assume. First off, this is one that my dad bought for me.
Oh.
He just went to his house and he had a box of it because he knows I like to try the new stuff. He had a box of this and Avatar waiting for me at Thanksgiving. I went to go watch the parade, and he slid a box of this over my way.
So we've got Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cereal, beloved modern favorite. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, always in the cultural conscious, and he's now finally getting the cereal treatment with a hot cocoa-flavored cereal. And I must say, cereal companies, please, words mean things. You can't just keep calling cereals hot cocoa.
Dan, this one drives me absolutely up a wall. It makes me despair, honestly.
Well, please elaborate on that.
It's not hot. I mean, it's not hot. It's clearly not. Cocoa is cocoa, and hot is hot. And if you put hot there, you can't have a hot flake. Kills me.
It's just, for me, like, we talked about this when the cereal was first, when the news first came out, that they very clearly just took the shapes from the Reese's Puffs bunnies, like the brown ones, the dark brown ones, and repackaged them as reindeer. And, like, that's not even what gets me. The thing that gets me is that if you're going to, like, plunder these shapes from another cereal, the Reese's Puffs bunnies were at least flavor blasted with, like, chocolate powder, flavor powder, or whatever. But these Rudolph ones are just totally dry and, like, way blander as a result. Why can't you just take the exact same recipe and put it in the box? Because these are just, like, corrugated Cocoa Puffs at this point. I will admit that I think they're a little bit better than Cocoa Puffs because the increased surface area allows for more of that, like, flavor on the outside and less of the actual, like, corniness on the inside. But that is a very narrow, like, improvement. And also, the Marbits aren't really doing anything, so to speak. And let me add that perhaps one of the most embarrassing things that I've said on this podcast that I let get to air was when we were talking about the cereal news, and I'm like, well, I guess the red round pieces are supposed to be ornaments. As I'm looking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer right in the eye. Like, come on. How could I?
Come on, Dan.
It was right there.
I will say, though, in your defense, my kids and I had to puzzle over the blue triangle for such a long time.
What conclusion did you come to on those?
I thought it was the Bumble. That was the best that I could come up with. It's sort of a triangular-shaped monster with some blue in it, but no, it turns out, I guess it's Hermes' hat.
It's Hermes' hat?
That's what Gabe said.
Huh.
Yeah.
Dang, I was going with, like, mountains maybe or something, but no.
Makes as much sense as anything else, I guess, Hermes' hat.
That tracks. Hermes is not even on, well, I guess he's on the back of the box.
Yeah. I know. It's, you know, Gabe mentioned also to talk about his video on cereal time again. He mentioned how good this would have, a good opportunity this would have been for a gingerbread flavor. And as soon as he said it, I was eating a bowl of Rudolph. when I was watching this video, I love when those two things line up every once in a while, and it just it actually made it taste worse to me because it's such a good pull that I wanted that alternate universe cereal.
Well, year after year we harp on the tragic lack of gingerbread cereals out there. The only one that ever came out was the Gingerbread Life, and their execution was only so-so. Maybe next year for Gingerbread Toast Crunch. Hey. Maybe.
But this is the year for Elf on the Shelf North Pole Snow Cream Cereal. Dan, yay. I'm so excited. So excited that you secured some of this.
So, big year for, polarizing temperature extremes of cereal. We had the Cinefuego Toast Crunch bringing us the first ever spicy cereal, and now the Elf on the Shelf is bringing us the first cooling cereal. Let me get out of the way first. Does anyone in the world even like Elf on the Shelf as a character, as a property? Like, everyone I know is just creeped out by the guy, and yet he's somehow getting four cereals.
I will say my kids love that guy. Huh. They love our elf that lives in our home. They're terrified of it because it reports back to Santa, but they're wild about her.
Well, the cereal, I mean, it's kind of cool in, like, the literal refreshing sense, but, like, the cooling...
It's so weird. The best that I've found to describe, people have asked, like, when I'm describing it to people before I make them try it, and make them is the verb that I meant to use there, before I make them try it, I describe it's like, if you can imagine, it has the sensation of mint without a mint flavor, mm-hmm. And then they say, so it's mentholated? And I said, yes. Yeah. This is the first menthol cereal.
It absolutely is.
Like the sensation, you know, Halls is like another good, it's the sensation of like having a, like an old school Halls that is just menthol forward. That's what it tastes like to me. Mm-hmm. I have not had the guts to have this with milk. I feel like that would be a real quick trip to the yucky zone. But yeah, it's bizarre.
Well, for me, like, the cooling effect doesn't really come into play until the aftertaste. And the problem is that there's no, like, foretaste to speak of. It's just pure sugar, not even, like, with vanilla or buttery notes to it. It's just, like, there's Marbits in this cereal, but the actual crunchy star pieces are basically just Marbits themselves.
And if we could talk about the Marbits in the Elf on the Shelf cereals.
Oh, it's sad.
It is unbelievable. Like, you will have to dig through the box to find a marshmallow. And the marshmallows in these cereals are the, like, tiny, they look like when you get the hot cocoa packets that already have the marshmallows in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the size of marshmallow we're talking about.
Yeah. So for me, like, the cooling effect was all right. It's kind of subtle. It's less like you just chewed a stick of gum and more like you chewed a stick of gum that somebody else already chewed. Like, it's kind of...
Did you try with milk? Did it make the milk have, like, the same effect, or...?
No, it was more so that, like... Okay, so my problem also with the cooling effect was that it only comes into play in the aftertaste, but there's also this aftertaste that's, like, almost chemically and, like, really, like, throat-coating and not exactly at all pleasant.
I would go on a limb and say it's not almost chemically as much as it is chemically. There is not a natural ingredient, I think, that they are including to get this effect.
So milk, like, it dilutes that chemical flavor and kind of washes it away, but it also dilutes the cooling effect. So you're basically just left with, instead of crunchy sugar pieces, crunchy milk pieces. It's like you're crunching into edible milk, which is not incredible. I'll give it that. Unlike the Cinefuego, which every friend I let try that was repulsed by it, I had a couple people say that the Elf on the Shelf one was weirdly good, with strong emphasis on the weirdly. So maybe if you're really into, like, Frosted Flakes or any other cereal where sweetness is the one and only note, you might get some novelty out of this one, but I don't think it was really for me.
We've got a Sainsbury returning to a UK grocer called Sainsbury returning to the program here with a new with another new cereal. Tell me about Elf Mix.
Yes, Elf Munch Mix. This one was sent to me by Tim, who also sent me the mini croissant cereal that we talked about. I just felt it'd be more apt to wait until December to talk through this one. And this stuff has a lot going on. Very rarely do we try a cereal that has like four independent components going on in the same bowl. This is a tasty mix of strawberry-flavored Elf Hoops, Choco Pops, mini cornflakes, and festive stars, which basically means that this is a carnival of mouthfeels. There's a lot going on in terms of texture here. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I feel like half of these components are kind of just like subtracting from the overall flavor, because the strawberry hoops and the Choco Pops are really carrying the overall like taste palette, whereas the mini cornflakes and like festive stars, which are, you know, basically just like sugary pieces, are kind of just diluting and washing away that honestly pretty tasty strawberry and choco flavor. So while I did like this one better than both of the two preceding cereals that we talked about, I can't say it was particularly insanely good, but I do like the approach to having a lot of different like textures going on. And if nothing else, you could use these to pack your gifts, Myth, and pad your mail, I guess.
We gotta get you a P.O. box, Dan, so we can just announce it every show so people can send you whatever weird cereals they encounter in their day-to-day life. I'm P.O. box 54, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706, if you want to send me any of these weird cereals. And we'll get Dan a P.O. box, too, so people can send him oddballs to try from around the globe. We asked you, our beloved listeners, for your ideal filled cereal. What was this in reference to? What were we... Was it a Crave discussion, or was there another... somebody, I think, maybe asked about...
Yeah, the question we answered was that someone... They discovered that Crave was their ideal cereal texture, but they were sort of bemoaning the lack of other filled cereals on the market, and we did realize that it's kind of a missed opportunity to not have more of those, so...
All right, let's see what you all came up with.
Hi, Dan and Justin. It's Ezra from Madison, Wisconsin. With regards to filled cereals, thinking about those contrasting flavors and textures swimming in milk, I realized you could go in a lot of really interesting directions by taking inspiration from bubble tea shops. The shell could provide a tea and biscuit flavor that would naturally leach out into the milk for an authentic experience, and you could do just about anything with the filling. I might go with green tea and apple, black tea and lychee, or if you were feeling particularly adventurous, chai and chili. Thank you.
Hello, Dan. Hello, Justin. This is AJ from Denver, Colorado. Were I given the golden opportunity to make my own filled cereal, I would bring a raspberry-based filling to the table in order to bring the jelly donut to the bowls of the world. A new frontier in opposition to the somewhat unambitious donut-based cereals of record. Thank you.
Hello, Dan and Justin. This is Sam. My dream-filled cereal would have to be peanut butter and jelly, a criminally underrepresented flavor combo in the cereal aisle. Whether it consisted of peanut butter pieces with fruit filling, or fruity pieces with peanut butter filling, it would almost certainly be completely delicious. Thank you for the podcast.
Those are all fantastic. If I could say that I'm not a big Crave person. Those all made me hungry. Like that sound, especially like the jelly donut idea. Oh my gosh, with a little bit of that powdery Twinkies coating on the outside. I mean, come on.
Yeah, Hidden Treasures revival, basically.
Yeah. So happy to have it back.
I do have a question for the next episode for any voice memos. So we got our Spotify Wrapped today for podcasters, right?
Yeah.
And the stats were that, at least on Spotify, our podcast was heard in 66 different countries, which is insane to me that there's so many people out there willing to live vicariously through almost exclusively American cereal news.
Right.
But my question is just that, so our top five countries for listeners were the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and Ireland. If you're listening to this and you are from not one of those five countries, call into us and let us know where you're listening from, because I'd love to hear.
I'd love to hear a little bit about your cereal scene in your country, because it's very different all around the planet. So I'd love to know what kind of place cereal has for you culturally. Couple of questions in this. Oh, by the way, if you want to submit that bowl Rest is the address. You can go there to leave us a voice memo. You can also, if you got a few spare bucks laying around, you can pledge anywhere from like $1 to $10 a month to Empty Bowl. Half of that will go to a shelter for people experiencing homelessness here in my area, and the other half goes to keep Serialously.net running. Serialously.net is Dan Gubert's website where you can find all of his excellent writing. Here's a couple questions we got. This is mail@bowl.rest is our email address. Dear Dan and Justin, I'm trying to find more breakfast options and cereals for mornings before work, but unfortunately, I have a mild oat intolerance that keeps me from my beloved oatmeal most of the time. But if I could just break in, I do enjoy that most of the time. That's someone who says, yes, this will ruin me, but I really want oatmeal now, and I've earned it, so I'm just going to... take a breather today.
Take the pleasure with the pain.
Deal with it. Push through for the love of oatmeal. Do you have any recommendations for hearty, oat-free cereals for a more adult palate? Thank you so much, Victor Bell.
Now, I feel like this might be one of the hardest questions we've had to answer on this show for two reasons. One being that we are so staunchly, like, pro-oat on this show almost all the time.
Right, yes.
And the other being that, like, my go-to answer for this is a cereal that's apparently not made anymore, which would have been the Quaker Corn Bran Crunch, which was, like, the only really hearty adult corn cereal that I could think of. So I was trying to do a lot of research into other options and coming up a little short, but I would say that, like, a lot of Special K cereals use, like, a wheat and rice flake and are generally oat-free, so I really like the cinnamon pecan one of those. Otherwise, I would say, like, Kellogg's Raisin Bran, like, the normal Raisin Bran does not have any, like, oat clusters or anything, which is a real shame because, like, for whatever reason on this earth, the Kellogg's Raisin Bran Crunch uses, like, a way better flake than the normal Raisin Bran. So I don't know, like, how bad your oat intolerance is, like, if there's even any, like, contact issues, but if you could, like, pick the oat clusters out of Raisin Bran Crunch, I would say that'd be a little better than, like, just the Raisin Bran, but that's a good fallback as well. I don't know if you have any thoughts.
That's the best. I mean, I could make an argument that for me, if I'm going, like, especially with like a coconut or like an almond milk and no sugar, I feel like cornflakes can have like a hearty sort of vibe to them. Mm-hmm. That to me is like a good implementation of corn where it's not quite as like, it's not so far from its own nature that it's like indistinguishable from the source product.
I guess
that'd be the best that I could offer. I mean,
depends how strict you are about the adult palate, too. Because corn pops, sure. I mean, I'm an adult. I have a palate, and I still enjoy me a good bowl of corn pops, so.
Yeah. Hi, Dan and Justin. After listening to you talk about hot cocoa cereal recently, it makes me wonder if we're missing a trick when it comes to this flavor. Should we be adding warm milk the way we do to instant cocoa? Would that really make it hot cocoa cereal? What do you think? Is there room for hot cereal that isn't just oatmeal in disguise? That's from Sarah P. There are some cereals that I have tried. I mean, like, I have tried Grape Nuts Hot, and that's pretty good. That used to be a popular way of, like, marketing that cereal. Like, try it hot in the old 60s ads that you'd see for Grape Nuts. I'm not sure a lot of cereals would stand up to it, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the problem being that, like, hot or warm milk is going to make your cereal soggy so much faster.
Yeah.
And, like, the only thing I could think would be, like, a granola, but that really is just oatmeal in disguise at that point. Unless, like, my thought is that, like, have you ever heard of, like, contrast therapy where you alternate between, like, hot and cold baths of water? Like, maybe if you were just to have, like, a cup or a mug of hot milk and a cold cereal and just sort of alternate spoonfuls and sips of each, it might be a really nice, pleasing sensation.
You know, another one that might actually be good is Life. Life slurps up the milk so fast that I feel like, and it turns into like a sort of, like, it is, in my approximation, the least milk-resistant cereal. I feel like it is soggy almost instantly. But, like, I think in a hot context, it might actually be kind of good. Like, hot Life cereal sounds like it would be good.
Yeah, especially in these colder months. It could be comforting.
Hi, Dan and Justin. Last question. While in college, I once mentioned to my roommates that I like to eat frosted mini wheats dry from the bag. They were both confused and aboard. Obviously, I bought a box and had them try it, and one of them, so upset with the dryness of the square, grabbed our pitcher of water and poured it directly into his mouth. My question is, are there any cereals you think must be eaten with milk? And similarly, are there any that are much better eaten dry, besides those that don't taste good with milk? That's Ryan from Wisconsin.
Well, I'm going to say, first of all, that I don't think there's any cereals that should be eaten with water.
No, that was a mess up.
But in terms of ones that must be eaten with milk, you know, this is a tale as old as time, but I'd say something like a Cap'n Crunch or Crunch Berries, where the pieces are known to be so, like, sharp and craterous that they can,
yeah,
like, hurt the roof of your mouth. You know, maybe, yeah, that's why they're releasing the all-red Crunch Berries, so you can't see, like, any blood or viscera that might be dredged up from the sheer pain of eating them dry. But, yeah, something like that, or, like, for me, I have a problem where I like to eat cereal really fast. So if it's a really, like, oblong...
That's not a,
like,
problem, Dan.
But if it's, like, an oblong Cinnamon Toast Crunch churro or even a Crave piece that has those pointy edges, I find that the dry experience could end up, like, poking me in the roof of the mouth really bad. So softening them up a bit is kind of a good idea. But on the contrast, like, I don't know if there's any cereal that needs to be eaten dry, right? I can't... Yeah. I'm struggling.
Some do better, like, right? Some are, like, a little more snacky, you know? But, like, ones that, like, I mean, nothing springs to mind. Stuff that has the, like, varying flavors, like, or varying textures, rather, like, stuff that has marbits in it, I think is better. But I don't think anything, like, is actually better dry.
Unless it's like something like a Sainsbury's Elf Munch mix where you have all these distinct pieces and you kind of want the experience of like sampling different combos of them or like trying individual pieces. Or of course, if you're in that very recent niche of temperature varying cereals, like I would not eat the Cinefuego with milk ever. Granted, I would never eat the Cinefuego again ever, but I certainly would never eat it with milk again.
Thank you so much for listening to our program and spending this time with us. We really value your presence here, and we hope that you helped you to relax a little bit and just trying to take a break, you know, just trying to like get a little bit of a breather. Who do we owe gratitude to today, Dan?
We'd like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun scheduled to come out tomorrow. Bria Davis for our incredible podcast branding, as well as M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merchandise.
That is going to do it for this week. Again, we'd love to hear your questions at bowl.rest. But until then, and until next week, or next episode, I should say, my name is Justin McElroy. That's Dan Goubert. And what am I forgetting?
Don't forget.
I feel like I'm forgetting something.
Don't forget to mentholize your milk. Or maybe do forget. I would say forget.
Forget to mentholize your milk. That's our new,
That's catchy.
New slogan. Maybe even more impenetrable, making this this impenetrable podcast even less user-friendly. Don't forget to drink the milk.
That's the one.